It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Major news going on with regards to the NBA Finals. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Kristaps Porzingis dealing with a rare and serious injury to his foot, Perloff, that we thought was kind of spelled curtains for him, at least for tonight and maybe for the series. But because of your great connections and that of the one and only Tiki Barber, your world-renowned foot doctor, Rock Positano, joined us in the last hour and said he thinks Porzingis can play through this.
Yeah, it sounded like more of a typical injury. It's, you know, this rare injury, like he contracted some sort of bacterial infection in the wilderness or something.
God.
That's what when I said rare injury.
Yeah.
And it turns out the way Dr. Positano described it, it's a very typical foot injury, and the muscle that connects the foot to the ankle slash calf is worn. I think he could be okay. And there's also reports that he's walking around like normal. So I guess the question is, when the speed of a game starts, will he be okay? I will tell you, well, one thing Dr. Positano reminded us, like, Porzingis' health long-term, I'm not sure I want to sign that guy to a 7-year contract. It does feel like it's going to be a constant challenge with him.
Yeah, probably. But listen, the Celtics, they're in the now. They're in the moment.
It's about now. You're right.
You're two games away from, you know, making good on all the promise and all the expectations and raising that 17th banner. And next year's next year. The future's the future. I kind of understand where they're at now. And so that was some encouraging news. And if you are thinking about betting this series, that might be something you might want to keep in mind. Okay. Wednesday's around here. Great debate, y'all.
The Great Debate Series.
Okay. We do this every Wednesday at this time. The Great Debate, something loosely based on the news. Now, I got to give full credit where it's due here. Andrew Bogish, who joins us every week for this segment. This was a Bogish pick. You texted us yesterday. Do you want to set this up for the audience?
You guys had just walked away from me because you were picking between two possible great debates.
Yeah.
And we were fresh off a glorious conversation about Maggie's big and beautiful feet.
Big.
And I laughed to myself.
Never said anything about beautiful.
It was initially just me making myself laugh in my head, but then I thought, no, this actually could work on a serious note, which is why my text to you guys began with, hear me out, ...
That's always a fun one to get.
Yeah.
And in connection to your majestic Sasquatchian feet, I believe we have the best, the most historic body part in sports history today?
Yeah, we reframed it as the most important.
Okay.
Now, my feet, not that important. They are water skis, but that's the conversation for another day.
We're talking
about the most important body part for any professional athlete throughout history.
Hmm.
Bogish, we heard you out, and we thought this is hilarious, so let's do it.
Okay. I want to go last. I was waiting. Was there music? I can't remember if there's another.
We already played it.
Oh, we did. I didn't know if we played it again.
No, I always play it again.
Like, when does the music play? You know me well enough to know I never know when the music's supposed to play.
Dosh, watch. No, this is why I sit in this seat and you sit in that seat.
Can I go last?
Absolutely, you can go last. Okay, so I will go first. Then we're talking about the most important body part of any athlete throughout history, and for me, it would be the combination of the right cross and the left hook and maybe the right uppercut of one Mike Tyson.
This is a combination uppercut by Tyson. Tyson laying it on, carrying it on. Down goes Bruno into the ropes.
Now let's take a look at how Tyson took care of business. Ducked under, a shot under the arm in the legs, and from here on out, a rain of punches which buckled Bruno until he was helpless.
Okay, Jim.
Frank Bruno didn't stand a chance. Mike Tyson's hands are the most important body parts and most feared. Tyson won 19, his first 19 fights of his professional career, all by knockout. 12 of those came in the first round. He was the youngest heavyweight of all time. He became the most feared person on planet Earth, partly because he was weirdly strange, but also because of his hands. And his devastating punch-outs and his not only the right jab and right cross, but also the left hook, the right uppercut, the flurry of punches. Mike Tyson's hands are the most important body part in the history of sports.
Can we get a ruling here? Because it is a debate. You said body part, so we could do body parts?
Sure.
So hands are a pair.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Is a plural part, is that one thing?
Well, I was just going to go with the right, and you reminded me that the left was pretty fierce from Tyson. So
Yeah. Okay.
Like my answer is feet, not Maggie.
So but you didn't say foot.
I know. I said feet. So, but that's a singular body part, even though there are two of them.
Is it?
Will you allow it or no?
It's
already a controversial.
I don't know. It just sounded like a funny sentence. Feet is a singular body part. Not really.
But anyway, they're one thing. There's just two of them.
There we go. Like, this will be the last time we let Bogus pick the
dog. No, you could say like Magic Johnson's vision. Now, he technically has two eyes.
But vision is not a body part.
So Magic Johnson's eyes are the most spot. Yeah. That's still a body part.
I took it more as a one body part thing, but please.
Okay, well, we're getting lost in the weeds here. The conversation, the great debate, is the most important body parts of any athlete through
history.
It's
an S in parentheses after part.
Bogus, this was your topic. Do you want to go next?
Yeah, my feet. And I'm actually surprised I ended up here. I wanted to be mean at first and say like Bill Buckner's knees, which didn't allow him to get down.
That's not nice.
I know. I was going to say Bruce Bochy's head, but I wanted to leave that for you.
That's not nice either.
Oh, it had to be Bruce Bochy's mustache. That thing is.
That's not a
power unto itself.
Nothing's making the decisions.
So I ended up somehow in football, which is not where I thought I would get when this all began. But I'm going to think of the feet of a runner in Motown. Do we have a highlight here?
Deep hand off to Berry. 35. Breaks through 30. Berry outside of the 20. Cuts inside of the 15. Outside of the 10. Berry, this is the third 5. And touchdown!
Berry Sanders turned around a defensive back about 3 times.
Yeah, I'm too old to fully appreciate Walter Payton and certainly not Jim Brown or Earl Campbell. Barry Sanders to me is the running back. And those singular runs where he's twisting and turning and guys are falling over themselves, going the wrong way. I can't think of another comparison of an athlete making other athletes look as silly as Barry Sanders did. So give me Barry Sanders' feet, foots, left and right in this debate.
Well done.
We're going to ignore the fact that he generates all that power from his core, but okay.
Ryan, you want to weigh in here?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with a different sport also. I'm going to go in baseball here. And I can't ignore this one person's arm.
Nolan Ryan, the 2-0 pitch. Fly ball, right field. Clemenciere in foul territory. Number 6 for Nolan Ryan. The Express has done it once again.
Nolan Ryan himself, his right arm is legendary. Just for the amount of innings he threw, almost 5,400 innings in his career, 5,700 strikeouts, could reportedly throw over 100, probably 104 as a starting pitcher back in the 70s. It's absurd.
Brian, it's a great one. We're asking, what is our great debate this week? Is the most important body part of any athlete of all time? I said Mike Tyson's hands. Bogus is going with Barry Sanders' feet. Ryan now going with Nolan Ryan's right arm. Pete?
Well, I didn't know we were tying athletes to each body part, but I'm going to say just blanket statement to start, the brain.
Okay.
Because any one of these athletes can have all the ability whatsoever in any part of their body. If they don't know where to go, what to do, who to associate with, they're going nowhere. They could have the most talented, we've seen athletes that have all this strength and all this power and end up not making it because they can't think for themselves, they can't do for themselves. So the brain, for me,
okay,
I will tie it to an athlete.
Yeah. Smartest athlete?
One of them, Tom Glavine.
Okay.
Tom Glavine is a Hall of Famer, but He takes that extra step because he realized he can work the plate and work. What are we laughing at?
Tom Glavine?
He's so bad at this.
Okay.
I'm here about.
But he's not the greatest pitcher. That's why I thought you were saying, I thought you were saying Tom Brady. That's why I thought.
Well, I was explaining myself, but you can take it from here.
No, please.
Nope.
Perloff, you've insulted the man.
I'm laughing too.
I misunderstood your point. Like, you're saying Tom Glavine was all brain, less physical skills. I get it now.
I'm saying his brain helped him propel himself to another level.
Got it.
I just think you would, like, Nolan Ryan, Mike Tyson, Barry Sanders, like, Tom Glavine's just a cut below those guys.
Glavine's brain.
Yeah, he realized he could use the outside part of the plate more so than anybody else. And he, in an era where there was no cameras there, he worked it, and it was. He was getting strike calls and was propelling himself to another level.
I totally agree with that. So, because, like, I kind of misunderstood. You're saying, like, he was more brain than arm, where Nolan Ryan was more arm than brain.
Correct.
You know, I think that's a major upset that you would go with any athlete's brain, and the answer is not Ryan Fitzpatrick, because we always talk about how he's from Harvard and how smart he is. And the Wonderlic and all that stupid stuff.
There's still a playoff game that does not sit well with me. Or non-playoff game that does not sit well with me.
Oh, well, he was a disaster at times, but he's always known as being smart.
Can I lodge my objection to Pete's
answer?
I can't believe that you thought we were just asking for, like, a structural answer. Like,
kidneys.
Well, I'm going to go with heart. Because if, you know, you might be able to fast, but if your heart wasn't beating, it wouldn't matter how fast you are.
You know how many athletes have... Look at the... I'm blanking on the power hitter from the Rangers that
no, your brain's not working.
Always got in trouble.
Josh Hamilton.
Always had tremendous ability, more so than a lot of people that are in the Hall of Fame, and could not make it because he couldn't think for himself.
Well, Bobby Jones, what was the famous line? The most important part in golf is the 6 inches between your ears or something. I screwed that quote up. Boy. But,
Imagine where you would be without a stomach.
I'll tell you, golf is way more mental than even baseball.
You got to have tendons.
Yeah. Can I just tell you some of the body parts I rejected? I wanted to go recency bias. I was going to go Kennedy Carter's left elbow because it launched so many takes.
Again, it's a great debate. We're doing the greatest body part, the most important body part of any athlete.
And by
the
way, you could have gone people's elbow.
Yeah.
It's like body part. Like, I took this more.
You guys would have found way, he's picking wrestling again. That's in a sport.
That is what we sound like.
That's why when we do these great debates, we tailor them so you can give us a fun wrestling one, because people actually want to enjoy this conversation.
If I pick Bochy, it's like, he's picking Bochy again.
You did pick Bochy 3 or 4 times.
He's the smartest man in baseball.
And by the way, we still ended up laughing at your answer.
It's not right. Leave me alone.
I also considered Secretariat's hooves, because it would have been fun to have a hoof.
You should have done the hooves.
For some reason, we had a conversation
about the break.
Michael Phelps, lats. Because who would have ever thought of a lat? But Ryan Botcher told me to do Messi's left foot just to be safe. So
Messi's free kick. Oh, it's a brilliant little Messi goal.
That is world class.
That is Messi class. That's above world class, Jerry.
Yeah, nailed it. So here's why I think I actually win this great debate. I'm going to be serious here. Because I picked one body part, and it's a body part that individually functions. Nolan Ryan's arm, he has a lot of things that go into that. Barry Sanders, great moves, that's all, like legs and arms. And Tyson, Tyson had great fist, but he also had a huge bicep. So I think the individuality of my particular body part.
Yeah, because Messi's foot is not connected to any other part of his body.
The song.
This doesn't impact anything. The leg bones connected.
I looked at the stats. He has 84% of his goals are with his left foot.
Right, so this is a left foot running around on the pitch. Attached to a body.
But here's what interests me. Then the other 14.9% are his right foot. Then there's 2% other.
Head.
No, it wasn't even his head. There was also head. No, his head was also got a bunch of stats too. But then there was just like random. They couldn't even identify a body part. Left foot.
There
Whatever.
You go.
I didn't. I was gonna actually look at Oscar Pistorius, but like that. But like a body part, like something interesting.
You should have gone with the Secretariat. That's a missed opportunity. Dude, the fact that you thought of it and didn't go with it. If I had thought of it,
I would have
gone.
Honestly, I would have. But they're four hooves. Which one do I pick? The back left.
Okay, so that's your great debate today. Wow.
And also, I mean, if you don't put the horse, it's not just the hoof. You got to put a horseshoe on it, too. So there's a lot going on there.
No one picked Wilt Chamberlain? I thought someone would throw that in there.
Well, I know. Did anybody want to go with Maggie? Maggie had a joke on text that was pretty darn funny.
You know, there was a reason it was on the text, not to our many lovely, incredible Infinity Sports Radio affiliates. I said Nick Foles' heart.
Yes.
He's got a nickname. It all
got
rhymes.
A big heart.
Anyway, that's the great debate today. Maggie, well, not as big as mine.
Did we mention this all started because of Maggie's shoe size?
Yeah, my gigantic feet spawned this conversation. Great debate. The greatest, most important, rather, body part for any athlete in history. Again, I said Mike Tyson's hands. Bogus did Barry Sanders' feet. Ryan did Nolan Ryan's right arm. Pete did Tom Glavin's brain, and Karloff did Messi's left foot.
I'm not going to do these anymore. If this is going to be a big laugh fest at me.
Just do them better.
No, I am doing it. I'm doing something that no one else will do.
That's why it's really awesome. Tired of it. Yeah. No, we like this. This is our brains. What do you come up with?
I'd ask Ryan, who's my best soccer foot to go with. He's like, well, Pele did this. Maradona was amazing with his left foot.
Well, that we didn't go with the hand of God, which would have been Maradona's.
Yeah, and I actually just looked up. His left hand was a famous body part.
Scored the goal in the World Cup.
Honestly, Pete, I'm disappointed you didn't go wrestling. You could have done Rene Goulet's The Claw. Oh,
yeah, all right. Anyone but us knows who Rene Goulet is.
People's elbow, we all know.
Yeah, but I'm trying to do something different.
I know. So don't get mad if we laugh at it. It's
you
good.
Laugh at everything I do.
Yeah, because you're amazing.
It's great. We never know what to expect. Well, with anybody, nice. But Daly's in the chat said Lance Armstrong's veins. Gosh.
Oh, God.
Lance Armstrong's
I didn't
doctor,
get that at first. I was like, whoa. Part.
Not his brain.
Usain Bolt's legs, says Jerome.
That's a good one.
Yeah, we looked at that.
Who, you?
Babe Ruth's tummy? Me and Ryan. I definitely needed help on this one. I wasn't going to be
Jordan's
original.
Brain, too.
What's
Jordan
that?
Or Kobe's brain.
Yeah, Kobe's brain. Yeah, someone mentioned Michael Jordan's mind, and I thought that was a little insulting to Michael Jordan's athleticism. Because the guy took off from the foul line, but mind was a popular choice as well. I'll bet you Pete wins this poll.
All right, we'll put the poll
with
out of
brain?
Yeah.
Tom the Glavin's brain.
Glavin was a parenthetical attachment to the end.
Before everyone started laughing, I was making my point, and it was
but
that
your
the,
point
brain,
was
the brain is the brain is the most important body part for
I totally
athlete.
Agree with that. It's just we had a list of four of the top 10 athletes of all time, and you had Tom Glavin.
That's an example. No. There's many people we could use.
He's the second most cerebral pitcher on his own staff. That's the other amazing thing.
And again, he didn't have Tom Glavin.
Greg
he
Maddox
had brain.
Had, Greg Maddox had more talent than Tom Glavin did.
I'm not sure about that. Greg Maddox threw like 84 miles an hour. I don't know, whatever.
He had some tremendous talent.
How about Pine Needle says Larry Bird's mouth because he could talk bleep like nobody else.
Definitely.
Key to his success. 855-212-4227. Bogus, nice job on the inspiration
here.
EJ texted me. Jalen Brunson's left hand is his answer.
Broken now.
Yeah. I was going to go with Kristaps Porzingis' rectaminal tendon.
You make it sound like a rectum injury. Like,
that, it I mean, starts at
REC. Something.
Retinaculum.
I thought the same thing. Those are not words I've ever seen before. There's like eight in a row that are not English.
You know some of the words inside the word,
right?
But
not connected and never in that order before.
Well, according to Dr. Rock Pozzentano, it's all good. Okay, coming up, somebody wasn't at the mandatory minicamp. Somebody may get fined for it. Who is that person? We'll tell you next.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. If you want to call us later on our great debate, most important body part in sports history, we have varied answers. Love to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Meanwhile, Maggie, once again, we're trying to figure out Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, we have dedicated a whole segment called What the Bleep is Aaron Rodgers Up to Today? And it varies, all different degrees, but we want to get the thoughts of someone who is boots on the ground covering this team. And that's Connor Hughes, who's a football reporter for SNY here in New York, Jets and Giants, and has covered the Jets specifically for a long time, The Athletic and so many other places. Connor, thanks for the time this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Haven't talked to you in a while, but I'm off the Jets now and just specifically on Aaron Rodgers' watch. But, you know, listen, missing a couple practices I don't think is obviously not a big deal. And we're not trying to make it out to be any bigger than it is. But, Connor, can you describe just sort of, you know, what's going on around the Jets now and why were they blind? They weren't blindsided by this. Why do you think they chose to portray it this way? An unexcused absence where he's going to be subjected to fines. The team has to know that's going to be attention grabbing.
No, they were not surprised by this at all. This is a trip that Rodgers originally started planning back when he was still injured. So it's been on the calendar for a good long while, and this has been on the Jets' radar for a good long while. So they've been well aware. I mean, in hindsight, I think they probably could have come out last week or the week before at one of these many media open organized team activities and said how grateful they were that Rodgers was at this voluntary portion, and they know he's not going to be at the mandatory portion, but, you know, he's getting the work in now, and it's a minor headline on one of those days. And then when he shows up here, maybe a little bit more news, but nothing other than that. So I think it was slightly surprising that they chose and Robert Saleh chose to go at it this way, specifically just because the minute you say unexcused and volunteer that information without it being asked. I was actually at the Giants earlier that day, heard that Rodgers wasn't there, got in the car and drove right from Giants to Jets. But the minute he volunteered the information as unexcused, it does ping it because it makes it seem like it is unacceptable, that it's not something that the team is in line with. And I know that he said it's a trip that's very important to him, but it was surprising to me that Saleh decided to use that word. Now, I think one of the reasons why he was because the Jets have another absence as well, and it's Hassan Reddick. And you can't turn around and say, oh, Rodgers is on a trip. That's okay to miss. This guy wants more money. That's not okay to miss. It just sets a bad precedent that I think probably would have created some issues within the locker room.
Wow, that's interesting. I didn't connect the two. But back to Rodgers for a second. Also, the mystery of it. Like, why can't they tell us what it is? Or why can't somebody tell us what it is?
Because our minds are going crazy trying to figure out where in the world he could possibly be.
It adds to the drama.
Because the minute you say it, there's going to be people all over that place. So I think that Aaron right now just doesn't want that location specifically known for security reasons. So he's such I think I even underestimated when he first got here just how big of a star he is in terms of the sporting landscape. And then some of the stances that he's taken politically and medically have made him, I would say, even more well-known. I wouldn't use the word star with that because of how polarizing and divided a lot of people are on those topics. But it does make him somebody who a lot of people know. And the minute you say, hey, Aaron Rodgers isn't at Jets camp because he is at this place in the world that maybe is a little bit more remote or anything like that. I mean, you're going to have a million and one people going and tracking him down, whether it's Page Six, whether it's TMZ, anything like that. So I think it's just honestly it's a personal reason, and it's a more than anything else, a security reason other than that it's not there. But Aaron's very active on social media. I'm sure within a couple of days here, you're going to see some Instagram posts of where he is and exactly what he's doing.
You know, this is an unusual thing for NFL teams. Is most of the times when people are looking for the quarterback during mandatory minicamp, he's at mandatory minicamp. That's why, I'm not blaming you for this, Connor, but you seem to be almost normalizing. Like, you're all of a sounds like this is typical Aaron Rodgers. Oh, of course he doesn't want to let us know where he is because there'd be a media crush. Like, this is non-football stuff. This sounds crazy, I think, to a lot of casual fans.
Yeah, maybe it's just because I've covered the Jets since 2014 that there's really – I cover at a camp where the quarterback got sucker punched in the face and then missed the next 8 weeks. Like, so, yeah, a trip here to miss mandatory minicamp is like, okay, yeah, I haven't done that one yet. For sure, throw this one on the stove as well. Like, it's one of those things, man. But, no, I mean, look, optics-wise, it's not that great. You can make the argument of, like, why not? Like, when I talked to my wife about this, she literally turned to me and said, why didn't you just schedule a trip for next week? It's like, yeah, that actually is a very logical, like, way to just not create this media hellstorm that's going on right now, is just go next week, not this week, and then attend minicamp. But he's a guy that walks to the beat of his own drum. He's a guy that for lack of a better term, just doesn't give a bleep what a lot of people think about him anymore. And this was something that he wanted to do, so it's something that he's going to do.
Connor Hughes is joining us. He covers the Jets and the Giants for SNY, and as he said, been covering the Jets since 2014. So you've seen a lot. You know, Listen, none of this is going to matter, Connor, if Rodgers is healthy, if he goes out and he performs. What I was kind of surprised by, and I was kind of critical of Rodgers for saying this, and I'm just curious how it landed in the building, when he's now said multiple times at the end of last year, but then really put a finer point on it at OTAs this summer or a couple weeks ago, when he said, if we don't succeed, we're all out of here. I'm curious how that landed with the front office and the coaching staff, because even if you believe that might be true, to put it out there like that, you know, there's a lot of people who are on the hot seat who still have jobs. Like Mike McCarthy's on the hot seat, we think, but he still has a job. It doesn't mean you're going to get fired. How did that land in the building? Because this is people's livelihoods.
Yeah, I know. I talked to a couple pretty high-ranking people after the fact, like after Rodgers didn't show up, because I was joking with them that, you know, you guys could have given me a little tip off here. Like, I knew Reddick wasn't going to be there, which is why I was at Giants. I was like, okay, Waller retirement versus Reddick. Okay, probably steer towards Waller. And then Rodgers wasn't there. I'm like, well, that changes everything. So I was like, man, you guys couldn't give me a heads up here before I drove all the way to MetLife to now pivot and go over to Florham Park. And I think everyone is just they're fine with it in the weirdest way. Like, I don't know how to describe it other than, like, when he was in Green Bay, and again, in my opinion, just go to minicamp. Like, that is it. Like, just erase this storm and just go to minicamp and do your trip after. But in their opinion, it's like he's been at every single OTA thus far. And because he's been at every single OTA thus far, he's doing things with them that he never did with Green Bay. In fact, somebody told me that if they did the math, they believe that he's attended more voluntary workouts with the Jets over the last 2 years than he had during his previous 10 years with the Green Bay Packers. Like, he's there all the time. So this was just one of those things where he decided not to be there. Now, if this was a voluntary practice, probably still noteworthy, but he's not at the voluntary practice than he is back at minicamp. It's just, it's one of those things where everyone I've touched, like, I've tried to see, like, is anyone just you know, kind of giving me the company line? It doesn't feel that way. Like, everyone kind of feels like he's been so good while he's been here. He's been such a leader. Our offense looks so different when he's on there. And that was evident when even Tyrod Taylor was running it versus Aaron Rodgers, that it's more like, yeah, okay, he's not here. Like, he created the storm. We're going to have to weather the storm. He's going to have to weather the storm. But you know what? No one's really going to care about this come September. And that was one of the lines that I got from somebody pretty high up there, is that Reddick and Rodgers missing this mini camp, is it a great look right now? No. Is it going to impact their 2024 seasons? Probably not. So I think that's kind of how they're approaching it.
Talking to Connor Hughes, the Jets trade for Hassan Reddick, is this what people call Jetsian behavior? Did they screw the situation up? They basically lost their sack leader, Bryce Huff, to the Eagles, then traded what is a conditional third-round pick for Reddick, and now he's not showing up? Or is this something that we're going to forget about in September?
Yeah, so Reddick is an interesting one, because that was one. I wrote a story that's up on SMY, just kind of explaining right now exactly how we got to this point. And when the Jets traded for Reddick, they made it abundantly clear to him that they were not going to redo his contract with an extension. They were not going to take his current deal, rip it up, and give him a brand new three-year, four-year extension worth $30 million annually. What the Jets were willing to do was they were willing to adjust his contract slightly in terms of, like, adding in incentives, adding in escalators that he could reach that might lead to him making another $1, $2, or $3 million this year. But that's really, it was all going to be based off of his performance on the field leading to financial off the field. I would compare it, honestly, to what the Giants and Joe Shane just did with Darius Slayton, where it was he wanted a new contract. They said, we're not giving you a new contract. Here's a way you can make another $500,000. Now, it was going to be increased from that. It wasn't going to be $500,000 more they were giving somebody like Reddick, but it was that sort of deal that they were looking to do. Reddick was on board with that, so much so that I talked to several people within the building who talked to Reddick when he was there for their physical, and they told me that Reddick said, oh, I'm good. I'm going to be there for the voluntary portion. I'm going to be there for OTAs. I'm going to be there for minicamp. At some point between when he left after his physical finalizing the trade and where we are now, somebody got in his ear and was basically saying, yeah, don't go. So he cut off communication with Sala. He wasn't talking to anybody. The Jets knew where he was working out, but he wasn't talking to anybody until he gets this new contract. And I think it's surprised the Jets, because in their opinion, they knew this whole time, like, we're not giving you the new deal. You know you're not getting the new deal. We're going to play it out this year, see where we are after the year, and then you're either going to get a mega money contract from us or you're going to get mega money contract from somebody else, but it's just not coming right now. We're not willing to do that, which, again, guys, is one of the reasons why it's a mid-round pick, yes, but it's not until 2026. Like, it's in 2 years. It's not even next year. It's in 2 years. So they have been surprised that he's not here. Now, I talked to a couple defensive coaches who told me that, look, at the end of the day, our defense on the defensive line isn't overly complicated. It won't be hard for him to pick it up. And everyone assumes that he's going to be there for training camp because of the chunk of change that he would have to, or the chunk of change he would be fined for not showing up. So I don't think the Jets are overly thrilled that he's not here, but they're not necessarily panicking yet just because they know eventually Hassan Reddick will show up. And when he does, he's going to be in shape. He's going to be ready to go. And when he's on the field, he's one of the league's best pass rushers.
Connor, Rodgers is not going to be there today either, right?
No, he's not there today.
Okay,
no,
so he's missing both.
Not. No, he's not. No, he's not in the country.
He's missing
not,
the
he's
whole
not
thing.
There today.
Okay, not in the country. Yeah.
Ooh.
There we go. Okay, Connor, thank you so much. Connor covers the Jets and the Giants for SNY, SNY.TV. He is one of the best people on that beat. Connor, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Appreciate that. See, this is the thing about, and we're getting back to Rodgers, the unexcused absences, the way that Robert Saleh said this is an event that's very important to him. And I think it's, listen, Robert Saleh is no PR wizard. Like, don't get me wrong. But I think they did him a real disservice here because they're making it seem like this isn't important to them. You know, it's important to Aaron Rodgers, and we know Rodgers has a very wide spectrum and range of hobbies. And it kind of makes it seem like if it was, you know, he's flying supplies to Ukraine, that should be important to all of us, right? If he's doing some kind of humanitarian mission, that would be important to all of us, not just say that's important to him. Like, they put him really on an island.
Well, I mean, this sound mean, but Aaron Rodgers has done hundreds and hundreds of non-football activities. Have any of them ever been anything like that? They're all about, he's all about himself, like,
but
turning
he's
in.
He's charities and all that. Definitely does
but
charity
But most of
stuff.
It's like ayahuasca, turning inside. A big part of his thing is get to know thyself. So right. It feels like he's at some conference about transcendental meditation, like something more along the lines of a holistic health. And
maybe.
Maybe
he's on another ayahuasca trip. I mean, if he's out of the country.
Yeah. I mean, a straight charity, that you're right. He's done a lot of charity, but that doesn't feel like the kind of stuff he's been like lending his name to lately. It's more political. It's more health oriented.
Well, I just want to leave a little grace and a little room that if he was doing something, I think like if he was, again, like opening up a school in Sudan, I think they'd be like, you know, Aaron, they'd promote it. It'd be like, Aaron's really doing this amazing thing, as opposed to this is an unexcused absence and he's subjected to fines.
It was Saleh's wording and the way he said it too. It sounded like it was really unexcused and there was some dissonance there that the team didn't really want him to. You're right. I mean, I think Connor had a good point. Like, they could have probably said something about this last week or something, or leaked it to him, or somebody could have said dealt with this differently.
Well, and you don't have to give out the coordinates of where he is by telling it. Maybe we don't know. Maybe as soon as you say it, it becomes way too obvious about where he is. Connor maybe was saying opening, maybe the media attention would be too much.
Yeah, like Aaron Rodgers opening Disneyland Europe or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know what this means. Like, where is he that he's going to get this media? I just don't understand this. Really.
Well, if he's in some kind of ayahuasca tea ceremony in Costa Rica, I mean, good luck, TMZ, finding him there. That's not out in the open.
Yeah, now we're going to evaluate. When we find out where he was, we're going to, was this worth keeping in a secret? Again, all this is not football stuff. It probably doesn't matter because it's June, but it doesn't feel like it's great. Well, like, it's not great.
Here's the thing. We're not at the point where teammates are going to come out and be like, this is a distraction, but when you're... When you come out and chastise the team and say, guys, it can't be about anything but football, cut the BS, you people cut it. But for me, well, I get a lot of grace because I know what winning looks like and none of you guys do. And that's essentially what he said, if you parse it down.
Right, and there's a lot of stakes here. Pro Football Focus put out a team ranking of the most talented rosters, and the Jets were top five. Like, there's expectations arising now, so they can't screw around in a way.
There's another thought I had about this, and it relates to Bill Belichick, but I'm going to save that for a second because Andrew Bogish is here with headlines. Good morning, Bogues. What's
good
up?
Good morning again, guys. So most dates apparently dangerous for French Open champ Carlos Alcaraz. This one should be good for him. Rafael Nadal, given a spot on the Spanish Olympic team today, will play doubles with Alcaraz. Nadal is still far from full health, but he wants to play in Paris next month. When he lost the French Open 2 weeks ago, he said he might skip Wimbledon to prep for the Games. Kristaps Porzingis is dealing with an injury to a body part I can't pronounce or locate still. Mortals would take a game or two off.
Retinaculum.
Exactly, but not KP.
I am, of course. I have to be. I'm optimistic. And as I said, I will do everything I can to be out there tomorrow. And we'll see.
Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla said yesterday this will not be Porzingis' decision. Team doctors will make the call closer to tip-off of Game 3 tonight in Dallas. The Tampa Bay Rays were trying to stay bad at home last night, but the Cubs wouldn't let them.
The right hitter ready and throws. Here's a high drive into right center field. Suzuki going back, looking up. It's gone! A three-run walk-off homer from Brandon Lau, and the Rays score four in the ninth inning and beat the Cubs 5-2.
As heard on Rays radio, so that four-run ninth turning a 2-1 hole into a 5-2 win. Tampa was coming off a four-game sweep at home, courtesy of the Orioles. The Cubs have now dropped 13 of 18 overall, but they're not the worst team in Chicago. The White Sox, 4-3 losers in Seattle, dropping to 17-51 overall. Offer still declined. The Astros, especially after the brain gate, the Astros got a 3-1 win in San Francisco. Arizona dropped Anaheim 9-4, and the Marlins snapped the Mets' one-game winning streak 4-2. John Rahm withdrew from the U.S. Open yesterday because of a foot infection. He didn't play last weekend's LIV golf event for the same reason. And a few weeks ago, you guys may remember, EJ had me play a clip of Manchester United manager Erik ten Hag in a politely, very English, but contentious post-match press conference about his job status. Ten Hag told reporters they didn't know soccer when they asked him why his team didn't play well until the very end of the season. But that good end of the year, specifically winning the FA Cup over Man City, is reportedly saving Ten Hag's job. Ooh. The club's postseason review led them to believe keeping him is the best course of action. And now they'll work on an extension since his current deal expires after the coming season. Guys, back to you.
I can't tell if that's a good ending to the story or
it
not.
It feels like it's not. They went 98% of the year of why are you still our coach, and they had one good weekend, and now they're keeping him. And, players spoke out. And again, what do I know about soccer? But it feels like this was the time to get rid of him, and they didn't, and maybe it messes up next year, too.
Gotta be honest, it's giving me some Matt Eberflus vibes.
It's giving you any vibes?
Well, kind of, hung on at the end of the season, put together a couple wins, we'll keep him. It's like, well, maybe you shouldn't have.
Yeah, except the thing with soccer, man, they're all incredibly handsome.
Coaches?
This guy's a 10. I'm looking at you can't
That's what he should get the job for?
There's zero Matt Eberflus vibe in this man.
Is his agent worried about chicks too?
Sliding
in
the DMs?
No. I mean, could you imagine these soccer players? Oh my God.
Perloff's the only person on earth who, and Carlos Alcaraz's agent, you guys are the only two people on earth who are worried about his dating life. No one else. There are real problems in the world, not him finding chicks.
I want to be him for a weekend. How does that happen?
Obviously,
Fridays,
the problem is not him finding women. The problem is him avoiding women. Right? He's got to train. I mean, you saw Rocky. Oh. You got to go celibate. Honestly, it's hard to train if you're dating seven supermodels at once. How are you going to get in 5 hours of tennis? What is Carlos Alcaraz's most important body part, if that's the case?
Oh, yeah.
Pete?
His brain. Both brains. 855-242-4227.
Big brain.
Oh, man.
All
right. Not like Mr. Ten Hag that we were just talking about. It's a lot of dirty jokes there.
Erik Ten Hag, Maggie 9 feet.
Feet, now our feet.
Size 9.
Oh, right.
It doesn't actually equate to anything on my body. It doesn't work that way. Be funny if it did. 855-212-1227.
You know what they say about chicks?
Now we know feet. That's a real problem with Carlos Alcaraz. All
right. We can invent problems for him. Coming up, we have sound from Sean Payton and the criticism that he got in his first year as the Broncos head coach. What does he have to say about it? Also invoked a couple body parts in this answer, actually. Get to that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Lots going on today. It's a great debate Wednesday around here. So we asked you, what is the most important body part of any athlete of all time? This is Andrew Bogish pick, inspired by yesterday, my conversation about how my feet are a lot bigger than you guys had previously thought, I guess. We had a lot of good answers. Mike Tyson's hands was my response, Perloff.
I went with Lionel Messi's left foot.
Ryan Botcher's in for EJ. He went with
Nolan Ryan's right arm.
Pete Bellotti, outside the box as usual, pal. What'd you come up with?
I came up with the brain, and I used Tom Glavin's brain as a example.
Tom Glavin's brain. Bogish will be in at the bottom of the hour. He went with Barry Sanders' feet. Let's go to Charles, is in Maine. He's got a great one. Charles, the most important body part that an athlete's had of all time is what?
Gotta be Tommy John's elbow. Gotta be. This entire discussion arose out of an injury to Porzingis, is whatever it's called.
I didn't
realize you guys were going to take it in a different direction, but there's a reason everyone has heard of Tommy John surgery. Every casual baseball fan and most casual baseball fans have heard of Dr. Frank Jobe.
Yep.
And they don't even call it Tommy John, it's TJ surgery now. It's got to be the most important body part.
Charles, fantastic response. Creative. We'll call you next week for our next great debate because that one's on the money. It's, you know, I'll be honest with you, because I came along after Tommy John, the actual pitcher, I knew the surgery before I knew the guy. And then getting to meet Tommy John was a thrill, getting to interview him and Dr. Frank Jobe, who I believe has passed away. But it's the most famous body part.
It really is. It was a great... I wish I had thought of it.
Yeah. You thought of Secretariat's hooves and you didn't go with it. What a miss.
Yeah, but I like the fact that, like, you think of I like the randomness. I thought that's why, and I'm still mad at Pete for not going with The Rock, the people's elbow.
You could have done it.
Or just, or actually the hand of God, because right. It's actually called Maradona, the famous goal. Because the one hand, like, I think to focus on a singular body part fits the bill here. Because really, as he mentioned, it started with your feet, not Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, I wish it was clever enough that it started with Porzingis, but we're a silly show.
Did you guys, when you were trying to think of this last night, try and think of an unusual body part? Like, I thought there's some athletes were famous for their abs. I don't know.
What'd you say, Saquon Barkley with the quads?
Yeah. Great. Saquon Barkley's quads. Zinedine Zidane's head, because he had those two headers in the World Cup.
The headbutting got him ejected from the game.
Yeah, you're right. And you did Mike Tyson. I was like, what about Mike Tyson's teeth? The most famous thing he did was chew off Evander Holyfield's ear.
I know.
So I think it would have been interesting if we'd come up with a knee. What's the biggest knee in sports history? Maybe an injured knee.
I mean, how many of those? We got a
million. Well, we got an injured elbow with Tommy John.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, your mind went to Nick Foles. Obvious
I was just trying to be funny with you guys, but there's so much. I mean, Tiger Woods is back. I mean, there's so many things.
Yeah, you could go to individual injuries.
If we're talking about injuries, Bill Walton's feet. I mean, we were just talking about Bill.
Yeah. The one thing about Pete's choice, Tom Glavin, like, who is the most cerebral athlete of all time, too? I understand Glavin. You could go with a golfer like Tiger Woods' brain or something.
I mean, we could do a whole great debate on just who the smartest athlete is.
Yeah, and I disagree with you. By Ryan's Fitzpatrick is book smart, but that doesn't mean he's the smartest athlete of all time.
No, believe me, I've seen him throw enough interceptions in a Bills uniform to know he's not the smartest athlete ever. But
who are even the candidates for the smartest athletes of all time?
Well, I was just thinking, like, there's been a couple Rhodes Scholars. I think, was it not Myron Metcalf? Who's
Antron Roll or Myron Roll?
Myron Roll.
Antron Roll's brother,
yeah,
Myron Roll.
He's a, I believe he's a Rhodes Scholar. I mean, yeah, Bill, Bradley, Princeton, and then a senator. There's a lot of smart guys out
Jim
there.
Jim Bunning?
Yeah, yeah, senator. Yeah, there are a lot of senator. People who have had political success. Some of them are smart. Some of them maybe not so smart.
Yeah, being in politics doesn't mean you're smart.
Yeah, by the way, is that any politician, you should probably immediately. Aaron Rodgers thinks he's the smartest person that ever.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers' brain.
Rodgers' brain. That is, like that is actually the most probably important body part around right now.
Yeah, like, not the Achilles, just the brain.
Like, where is that going to take us in the 2024 season? That's, to me, an interesting question.
Well, then Swan.
Yep.
Another guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because of his brain or because of his hand?
Politician.
Politician, oh, sorry. Yeah. I wasn't sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
He's, like, famous. Like,
yeah. I think if he is, like, yeah, the ballet catches, but you think of him as a politician. Interesting. Yeah, Elisa, I think we've been done a good job of keeping this above board after we did the whole first hour on VD.
We're a very, you know, we're like a show that does everything. It's a variety act around here.
Yeah.
A lot of range.
And we're slightly immature.
That too. Coming up, storylines from minicamp.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.